Day two practice vibes check. Very good. Malcolm Brogdon spoke after practice. Also very good. And how he might impact Joe Mazzulla. Could he have some advice for his coach? Is his coach going to hire a new coach that we've had here before? Is that confusing? I'm going to explain it all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics pod, home of the winners, B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm here for you every day, Monday through Friday with a fresh, free podcast. So subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can watch the show on YouTube. So thank you for making this show your first listen every day and part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales, former professional basketball player, credentialed beat writer covering the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I'm now heading into my 16th season overall covering the Celtics. I've also written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and today's show we're focusing on day two of practice. We're going to talk about Malcolm Brogdon specifically in the second segment. Later on in the third segment, the Celtics clearly trying to add an assistant coach. They just promoted an assistant coach, so they're looking to add an assistant coach, and this search includes a familiar name, a familiar face. It's kind of interesting the way Brad Stevens is approaching this. Let's bring in Tom Westerholm. The Underscore Boys are back talking about the vibes. But so, Tom, we haven't talked to you in a little bit here. Let's what's your take? What's your feeling here after observing a couple of days of practice and practice reports and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the team is doing it makes sense, right, that they would be doing a pretty good job of putting all the email stuff behind them, because, like, media day happens, and you're going to get the questions, and you know you're going to get the questions, and I thought pretty much everybody seems to be pretty reasonable about it, right? They were like, okay, yeah, like, the questions are going to come, I'll give my canned answers, I'll give Jalen obviously kind of spoke a little bit more openly about, like, yeah, I kind of wish that we had a little bit more information and all that stuff, which sure, fine, whatever. You move on past media day. Now it's just easier when there is basketball to be done and there's basketball to be talked about and there's basketball to be asked about, and everything just feels like it's going smoother. And I just think that was always probably going to be the case, right? Like, the Celtics needed basketball back. They needed some normalcy back, and basketball is normal. So here we are. You know, second day of practice, the team's, you know, first day of practice, you know, they're throwing up the half court shots. Second day of practice, you know, you're seeing Jalen and Jason going one-on-one and all this stuff. And it's just like, all right, it's back. It's like, it's mm-hmm. time again. And now everybody can just kind of do normal hoop stuff. And I just think that's got to be so, so nice for them. So kind of comforting, familiar, all that stuff. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah, it was really good to see that clip of Jalen posting up Jason and just that big bear hug, that little wrestling match along the baseline. Just fun. Considering everything, yeah, you're right. And that's what I was talking about yesterday on the show. Just basketball is supposed to be fun. And so it's good to see the guys having fun after what was decidedly a very not fun week. And so you start to hear, you get a little bit more of a sense of what Joe Mazzulla is going for in his strive for the consistency of what they did well last year. Let's just try to rekindle some of that and try to fix whatever comes up that needs fixing, and relying on these guys on the floor to kind of help out with that. So I think after a couple of days, you really starting to get a feel for, all right, we're playing basketball. We're back. We can start pushing the Ime Udoka stuff off to the side, because frankly, when it comes to basketball, it just doesn't matter anymore. No matter what happens, no, it doesn't matter how salacious or how bad the story is with Ime Udoka. It just doesn't matter anymore with these guys. They have to move on, and they're starting to move on. So I think it's still tough. There's still a learning curve, but after a couple of days, it's about as good as you can expect, all things considered. And, you know, you just start to look for that sense of, all right, everybody's comfortable, everybody's normal. Now we got to see what happens on Sunday when they actually play. Tom, they're playing basketball on Sunday. It just feels like, I don't know, I almost like have lost the summer. We're back already. We're playing basketball again. Yeah, I feel like I just left the garden and now I'm going to be back there. So, but it is going to be nice. It's going to be nice to see them play basketball. And you know, I don't think we're getting any crazy quotes out of Joe Mazzulla. I think it's basically, yeah, we're going to try to keep it as seamless as possible, which frankly, as a coach in this situation, it may be your only choice, but it's a good choice at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's like, if you're trying to kind of protect the vibes from last year, right? Like I feel like just trying to keep things as absolutely low key and just nothing. Like, yes, go out there and do exactly what you were doing last year. I will try to be an Ime Udoka stand-in because it clearly worked, right? And this is, I think, going to be one of kind of the uncomfortable things is that, like, yeah, like Ime Udoka clearly did something bad, right? Something bad enough that the organization was willing to suspend him. However, the basketball last year was so good that the organization can't help but try to keep that going. And that's the line that Mazzulla kind of has to walk now of like, and he's, you know, he's saying all the right things. And, you know, like the guys, you know, are in their interviews are saying all the right things about like, look, this is, we're just going to try to keep things going. This is not something where, you know, there was something wrong was done on the court. Like everything on the court was right. So we're going to try to keep doing that. We're going to try to keep winning that same way. You know, Mazzulla, it was funny, you know, I think it was yesterday, he was asked, you know, kind of like, what are some of the differences between you and Ime? And he goes, I think I pace a little bit more. That's the only thing, right? It's just like, and that's smart because if you're Joe Mazzulla, you spent all of last year watching a guy figure out exactly what works for this group. And just because that guy, you know, did apparently some very questionable things, you know, maybe worse pending, doesn't mean that everything that he did on the floor wasn't a good idea, because clearly it was. So now it's Mazzulla's job to keep that rolling, keep the guys happy, keep, you know, like keep Jalen and Jason playing one-on-one and being super studs. Like, it's not easy, but it is, it's the task that has been given to him by Brad Stevens. So good luck, man.
Good luck, you know, no pressure. Yeah, it's
keeping Jalen and Jason in town might be up to you now. Good luck, man. Hope it's fun.
Yeah. The entire future of this franchise hinges on this particular one season going well.
The next decade of Celtics basketball is going to be decided here. Fairmont State straight to the Celtics. Let's get it, man.
Yeah. But I mean, seriously, a division two coaching, like all the way around, everything in West Virginia, went to West Virginia, started coaching colleges in West Virginia. Like West Virginia was really, really good to him. And now it's, let's go right from West Virginia to coaching in the NBA.
I hope Roderick Thomas makes the team just so they can so they can both kind of talk to each other about like, man, it's crazy going from Division II straight to the NBA. What is going on?
Yeah, it's going to be like the version of Ime, you know, everybody's from Portland. We're going to do like everybody's from Division II. But yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing about this team is this, the line between the basketball being great at the end of last season and the need to move on from a person who did something wrong enough that he's going to end up losing his job over this. that is a difficult line to kind of straddle, because yeah, we're going to do everything just like Ime did. We're going to do the same type of switching because it worked. We're going to have Jason probably handle the ball and do a lot more of the distributing just like he did last year, because it worked. We're going to do a lot of the things that happened last year because they worked. And you kind of have to just say, you know, whatever that is, don't even think about it as we're doing what Ime did. We're just doing what worked. And I think the lack of ego, everybody's got an ego, right? Everybody's got an ego at this level. So you can't make it here without an ego. But having enough of, like, lacking one enough where you can say, hey, we're going to separate ourselves from this guy in name and in theory, but I'm not so stupid that I'm going to change what a finals team did materially. I'm just not going to, you know, do it. They need consistency just to be, you know, just because it's too late to put anything new anyway. It's too late to put in too much new. You can put in some new stuff, but it's too late to do anything but stay consistent. But also, you went to the finals. Yeah. Why would you change anything? You know, you got to add to it. You got to tweak it. And so it just makes sense. But it's that stripping away the branding of everything and getting to the core product and now just dressing it up a little bit differently and putting a new label. It's like, just, okay, this product was recalled and okay, it's got a bad vibe with that product. We're just going to put the same product out. We're just going to call it a different name. We're going to just do something different. And so people don't remember it as this other thing. We're going to say, oh, it's a new product. It's a brand new thing. It's the same damn thing. It's the same soda. It's the same whatever.
Completely free from E. coli this time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. A new ingredient, though. Malcolm Brogdon in this whole thing. We'll talk about Malcolm in just a second. First, I got to talk to you about Bet Online. Your number one source for all your betting needs, including, and at this point, especially, for football. Everybody's talking about football. NFL is back. College football in full swing. Everybody loves betting on football. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and all the in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every single sport, including MLB. We just saw Judge hit his 61st home run. You could have bet on when he would have hit that. NBA preseason games are coming up soon. You can bet on those for sure. MMA, boxing, golf, it's all there at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events. So head on over to betonline.net. You can use your mobile device if you'd like to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Thank you for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On Fantasy Basketball your second listen? Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. Anywhere, he is the absolute best when it comes to fantasy basketball. You want to win your league? You better be listening to Josh Lloyd. You can find Locked On Fantasy Basketball wherever you get your podcasts. It's free. It's available everywhere, including YouTube. Wherever you found this show, find that one. All right, let's get back into the conversation here with Tom Westerholm and Malcolm Brogdon. Spoke at Media Day, but spoke after practice here on day two. And so we get a little bit more of a sense of Malcolm. And you had an interesting tweet about Malcolm saying that basically he just sounds so profound. You say, I can't tell if Malcolm Brogdon is a profound person or if he just speaks in such a calm tone that you feel calm. And I can see it when you're talking to him. It's just like you ask him the question and he's very matter of fact. He's purposeful. And the best part was Grant Williams quoted your tweet and said, he is a profound person. So on top of being a very important piece to the puzzle here, here's a guy that has what many would call the gravitas. He, when he speaks, he has the, you know, authority behind it. You can't help but when he speaks, like, pay attention, be like, this guy's saying something. This guy's saying something important to me. And then on top of it, here's a dude that went from Nate McMillan to Bjorkgren to Rick Carlisle. Consecutive years, the Bjorkgren situation was bizarre. Not the Ime situation, but bizarre and not at all expected. He can tell you the pitfalls. He can say, hey, this is what went wrong. This is why Bjorkgren didn't work. This is what he tried to do and that lost everybody. He could be a resource to Joe Mazzulla. He can like sit with Joe and be like, this is what Nate did wrong. This is what these guys did wrong. Don't make that mistake. And he can go to the guys and be like, this is how we reacted to these things. Let's not make that mistake. So, I mean, here's a guy is super important, I think, at multiple levels in this organization.
It's crazy when you go back, you can go back further, right? Because I think he was coached by Joe Prunty, right? In Milwaukee. Like, he would have had.
Yeah.
I think he would have had Prunty. So then he.
Let me look at this. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has been through a lot. It's the one thing that is very funny to me is that, like, Brogdon, like you said, he has this gravitas. He is, according to Grant, a profound person. You know, like, and hit me.
Sorry, go ahead. No, you want me to just interrupt you right away?
I do that to you all the time. Hit me.
I didn't even realize, I didn't go back far enough. The coaching for Brogdon has been insane. He started out under Kidd. He started out under Jason Kidd and that disaster. And then he went through the Kidd firing and Joe Prunty. And then he went to Budenholzer. Yep. And then he leaves and goes into Nate McMillan and then Bjorkgren and then Rick Carlisle. And then he gets traded to Boston, where he thinks he's playing for Ime Udoka, and now he's playing for Joe Mazzulla.
And not for nothing, I would bet you he had, I mean, like, I don't remember if he said this or not, but I would bet you he had conversations with Ime, right? Like, I mean, he's like the big addition to the team over the summer.
100%.
I guarantee you. So yeah, like, I almost feel like you could add Ime to the list of coaches, even though, you know, Ime never coached him in a game, but I'm sure Ime kind of gave him the expectations for this year and kind of
100%
gave him the whole rundown. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it's Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What a coaching journey for Malcolm Brogdon. I didn't even think to go, because I knew the Indy one was like messed up, but I didn't realize the Milwaukee one was as messed up as it was.
Yeah. I mean, and look, I mean, you and I think, I don't remember, were you covering the team like for that playoff run where Prunty was just like completely detrimental to everything that the Bulls did?
I think I might have still been in New York at that time.
Yeah, because like it was, I mean, it was hilarious watching Prunty just fumble his way through.
It was 17-18. That 17-18 season was when I took over.
That was the first one where you, So,
yeah, that's when I came in. So I was there.
watching Prunty just fumble his way through that season was very funny. So anyway, I like, you know, Brogdon, it's funny that he's got all this gravitas, like you said, like he does. But this is his seventh season. He is 1 year like more than Jalen, like 2 years more. Like, he is not that much more experienced in NBA terms. You know, he actually lines up with them pretty nicely. So I don't know. It's funny that he kind of has this like Al Horford old man quality to him. He hasn't, like, he's not that old in NBA terms. Like, it's just, I just think he's just you know, he's very calming. He makes you feel calm.
He is. Well, okay. So, yeah, he has that personality. He also started later. He was 24. He was 24 as a rookie.
Four-year college, yep.
So he is in his seventh season lining up, but he's also going to turn 30, you know, this season.
He is significantly older.
So he has that. He definitely has that. But I can tell you one thing. I didn't talk like that when I was 30. I don't talk like that now.
I currently talk like that as a 33-year-old. So no, I think this is perfectly. Yeah.
Tom,
I'm a profound person. Hold on.
Can I just like pull you aside here for a second? You don't.
What's up?
I'm sorry. You don't. So don't lie to the people. Okay. All right. Let's take it from the top. 3, 2. Okay, so Tom,
I'm in my 16th season. Former professional basketball player. I'm in my 16th season.
No, that's my script. That's my script. That's my script. That's my script. Just pick up a guitar. Just pick up a guitar and play. Whenever things go wrong, just pick up one of your guitars and just start playing. That's all.
All right. We'll get this together.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're talking about Malcolm Brogdon, who's profound and.
Well, yeah, and I think it is interesting too. Like you can, you know, Jalen, you know, talking about how, you know, how good Brogdon is. And I thought it was interesting too today that Brogdon himself said, look, like I was a leading scorer on a team. These guys know what I can do. I played against these guys. I know this team very well. And I'm making the conscious choice to take a step back and to kind of let these guys do their thing, you know, make the extra pass if I have to, find the better shot, find these guys. You know, he said it straight up, and I think he's right. That means something that, you know, that I'm doing this. I think that, you know, kind of signifies something about how serious he is about trying to win a championship and about this team specifically, especially given the news that he dropped on media day that he chose the Celtics. Like this is what he wants. He wants to win a championship with this team. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's meaningful. I followed up that answer with the question of basically, how long before you guys stop overpassing? Which, you know, he comes in, and if I'm a returning Celtic, I say, oh, great. We got Malcolm Brogdon. This dude averaged 19 points a game last year. Here you go, buddy. Because if I'm Tatum, I'm Brown, I'm one of these other guys. Like, oh, great. Someone else can score to take the pressure off of me. And then he comes in, he's like, all right, I got Jalen Brown, I got Jason Tatum, I got scorers around me. I don't have to score, so I'm just passing. And they're like, here, you take it. And he's like, no, here, you take it. And then the shot clock buzzer goes off. It's like, oh, well, one of us has to shoot. So I think there will be some level of overpassing somewhere early on. And if we don't see it in the first couple of preseason games, if the passing is actually crisp and guys are going and taking the appropriate shots, that bodes well for what this season is going to be, because that tells me a couple of things. Tells me the focus has been there. Tells me the attention to detail has been there. The stuff that they're saying is there, but you got to take their word for it. You see it in practice. You see it like on game days when they're playing. I just expect for a few, you know, weeks to just see some overpassing and just a little bit of, you know, you might see it at the beginning and then it subsides. And then once the regular season speed comes up and it's not the preseason again and you're playing Philly instead of Charlotte's, you know, fourth unit, and you'll see it again. If you don't, then that's a great sign. If you do, not a big deal, but I do expect to see it.
I always thought that was kind of one of the big problems with that 2018-19 team was kind of like, it was Kyrie's squad, but kind of nobody else knew when they should do whatever. This team does have a much more defined identity. And I think that's one of the things that Brogdon was speaking to, was like, look, I don't know how much Jalen and Jason are going to feel like they need to get Malcolm involved. I feel like they know, okay, this is my team now. And they didn't necessarily know that in previous seasons where maybe overpassing was an issue. Maybe, you know, oh, geez, do I need to get Gordon involved? Do I need to, you know, do I need to find Kyrie so he's not, you know, mad at me for whatever? Like, it's not going to be that. Like, Malcolm Brogdon is the sixth man. And, like, I think that, like, you know, Tatum, understandably and correctly, you know, is going to be gunning for, you know, certainly wins, but also, you know, some kind of all-NBA first team, maybe MVP type season. Jalen's going to, you know, be trying to make an all-star team, and as he should. You know, these guys are the guys, and that is understood, I think, by everybody within the organization, including Brogdon. So if, you know, I certainly could see there being overpassing, but I do think that if you're hoping to not see that, that's, you know, that's where you hang your hat. It's just the fact that like everybody on this team knows whose team it is, and it is – this is a Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown basketball team. And look, that's a team that can go to the finals. So pretty good.
And I think just by comparison, there's not going to be the question of when will Kyrie, you know, will he get mad at me? Because I think because of the nature of these guys' personalities and the nature of Malcolm Brogdon, that's something you can talk through. You know, I don't think and when we go back a year ago, remember, we had Dennis Schroeder, where the, you know, I remember distinctly the Wizards game on the road. I think the Celtics won that game, but it was the Schroeder Horford pick and roll with Tatum and Brown spacing in the corners. And I was like, okay, yeah, you won. And that's great. And maybe you deploy this every once in a while, but do we really want in the fourth quarter of a tight game to have Tatum and Brown as corner spacers? Like, is that how this season's going to go? And again, like if you get down to the last possession and it's a Brogdon pick and roll, I feel comfortable with that because he runs them and he runs them well and he's run right. them as much as anybody. So I feel good
he's
about that.
He's a much better player than Dennis Schroeder.
He's a much better player. I expect there is at least the possibility of him passing out of that pick and roll. Yeah. But even if something goes wrong there, I feel good about Tatum and Brown and Brogdon coming together in a film session and saying, okay, what I was expecting the ball. I think I should get the ball. And talking it through and coming to some sort of resolution. And that's the difference. I think Brogdon's personality, the type of person that we're seeing there talking to us, is the type of person we're going to see talking to those guys. And Jason's chill and Jalen is chill. And I feel like they can figure it out. And I'll just go back to what I said before. I think those guys don't mind somebody to take the pressure off of them every once right. in a while, because it's just going to make them fresher down the stretch. And you go back to the finals and them losing, having Brogdon to take three of those drives away from Jalen and three of those drives yep. away from Jason would have meant the next ones after those for either of the Jays probably would have been more effective.
Yeah, it's funny because if you talk to some Celtics people, they will pretty much put like everything, like maybe not everything, but a big portion of the stuff that went wrong in the first half of last season at Dennis Schroeder's feet. Like this was just like,
oh, yeah.
It was a Dennis Schroeder problem, which is kind of funny for one thing. But for another thing, what that means is that then Schroeder was addition by subtraction. So the Celtics got rid of him. And yeah, when it came to time for the finals and they were having trouble taking care of the ball and, you know, the Warriors were loading up on their best players and forcing turnovers, there wasn't a point guard who could, you know, who could do that kind of dynamic stuff. Whereas now, instead of addition by subtraction, the Celtics have subtracted the thing that was an addition, which was Dennis Schroeder. And then they've added Malcolm Brogdon. Like I think that's perfect. I mean, we've been over a million times, like how Brogdon can help with this team, you know, just schematically and everything. But I just think like, if you kind of look at it that way and you say like, okay, the Celtics not only upgraded by dropping somebody, they also upgraded by adding somebody this season. I think that does speak to like the potential of this team. You know, coaching drama aside, all that stuff, the talent on this team is so high. Brogdon himself said it, like, this is probably the most talented team I've been on. And again, he's been on a team with Giannis, admittedly a younger Giannis, but he's still been on a Giannis team. Mm-hmm. This is such a talented team I just think like a huge opportunity ahead of it. And I think that's a big reason why you got rid of the dead weight that was kind of holding you down a little bit. And you added somebody who, really should mesh both on and off the court.
So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, everybody expects nice things. The last point on Brogdon that I want to make before moving into the coaching thing to wrap up the show. I thought it was interesting that he said in the offseason he paced himself a little bit more. Because obviously the injuries are a thing. And he said, you know, in the past I've worked really, really hard. And I think, you know, this season, because my role is different, I paced myself a little bit more, which it's so much, I think, to unpack in that I don't think we have time to do it, but it does say that, you know, to be the starter, he had to put himself through a lot to get ready to be the starter. And if he had to put himself through that much to be a starter, then maybe this move to the bench is more than just being unselfish and a good teammate and an opportunity to win. Maybe it would be good. Maybe pacing himself, if this is true, pacing himself in the offseason and not putting himself through all of that, maybe that was actually necessary. And maybe his body is simply a body that needs to play fewer minutes and have less of the workload. This could actually be something that maybe preserves him a little bit.
It could be. I mean, to unpack one of the things that I think you were probably referring to there, it is weird that he, that like almost the weirdly circular, the weird logic of being like, well, I'm going to play a ton of minutes during the season. I'm going to have a ton of responsibility. So you know what I should do? I should fatigue myself all summer. Like I should,
make myself
as tired as possible before the season rolls in. So no, but I'm with you. I think that that's a good sign for him. And yeah, I mean, like, look, it's one of the most impressive things about Jason Tatum, right? That he plays 70 games every season and just keeps doing it and doing it and doing it. And you know, has been, you know, with knocking on all the wood, you know, that he's been so healthy so far. Like that kind of longevity is really impressive. And yeah, I mean, like when you play in the NBA, it breaks your body down. It is a very tough, demanding thing. And yeah, I think Brogdon certainly has a better chance of playing more games as his role is a little bit less, just purely based on less wear and tear that could kind of limit him.
Let's wrap the show up by talking quickly about this search for an assistant coach, which involves Jay Larrañaga, which I was surprised when I heard the news. And pleasantly, first of all, I like Jay Larrañaga. I've had a good relationship. I think everybody had a good relationship with him. He's a nice guy. If he comes back, it's going to be like, hey, Jay. And everybody's going to be like, you know, I think it's a press conference, you know, for him. I think he'll do a scrum for coming back because I think everybody's going to want to talk to him. So, but again, like very interesting that the Celtics are going this direction. Now, Adam Himmelsbach did tweet out that the Celtics have interviewed a lot of people and they're looking in a lot of directions, but it was very interesting that they also had to go this route. They asked permission, were granted permission. I don't know, Tom, am I wrong in saying that oftentimes when you ask for permission and it is granted, it generally goes somewhere? You don't just grant the permission and be like, nah, I'm staying, never mind.
Well, I mean, I think the good thing is that like teams in the NBA kind of recognize that like their assistant coaches and, you know, guys who aren't GMs and head coaches, like they're pretty fair to those guys. They know that like those guys really have to look out for kind of their situations too, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what's going on here. I think the Clippers probably looked at this and said, look, like, you know, this could be a really good opportunity for Larrañaga. Like this is a guy who has a ton of familiarity with the Celtics franchise. The Celtics, you know, could use a little bit of familiarity because it's not going to just be media people, I don't think, who are like, Jay, it's good to see you, man. I think Celtics players will be the same way.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to feel that way about seeing Jay. And I mean, the Celtics just need those good vibes so badly. So it's a real, I think it would be like a really good opportunity for Larrañaga. I think you're right. Like, I think when, you know, like the Celtics wouldn't put themselves in the position of having to ask the Clippers for something like this if they weren't pretty serious about it, right? Like you just, you know, it's not worth it otherwise. Otherwise, you're just making waves for no reason. So,
right.
And that's not Brad Stevens' way of doing things. Like Danny, maybe,
right.
But Brad's not, you know, Brad's not kind of in that business. So, yeah, I think it does. I mean, like, you know, again, just kind of outsider's perspective, it does seem pretty reasonable to think that this might be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, why would they even ask permission if they were just saying, "Yeah, let's see. We're interviewing a lot of people. You know, he's just one of many." Like, no. It's not like you're interviewing the, you know, an assistant that you covet and have no history with. You have history with Jay Larrañaga.
Yeah.
You're not interviewing Jay Larrañaga. You're asking for permission to talk to him so you can see if he's interested in the job. There's no interview process here. He's been interviewed. He's been here. He was Brad's guy. And then to get to this point, I don't buy that there's a whole mix. I don't buy any notion that he's part of a process. No, yeah. you don't interview Jay Larinaga to say, so what's changed about you in the last one season that you weren't here? What interview process is there? There isn't. They reached out to the Clippers so they could offer him a job. I'm not reporting that. I'm just deducing that. But come on.
Right. I mean, and look, again, this is a guy who was Brad's lead assistant. And, yes. he was a casualty of Udoka's rush to bring in as many Portland people as possible. I think like it's just when you think about what it would mean for the Celtics to bring Larinaga back and to just kind of have that familiarity, have a guy who's been a lead assistant for these guys before, have a guy who's worked extensively with Jason Tatum. Like Larinaga was telling anybody who would listen that Jason was going to be an MVP player long before Jason was an MVP player. I think he worked, didn't he work with Rob or something too? Like he worked with another pretty significant Celtics player. Like
well, notably a big guy, he worked with Taco Fall. And you remember
Taco.
He did work with Taco. He had Taco Fall shooting threes. Now
he did. I will say that I think one of the reasons he was working with Taco is because it didn't matter as much how much like he was able to put more of his attention on Tatum.
And yeah.
Like here's Taco.
But also the other guy that he really worked with was Marcus Smart, and that's the feature. That's the feature that I wrote, on him a couple years ago, a few years ago when I was working at Mass Live.
Yeah,
that was like my biggest feature at Mass Live, that relationship between them. Marcus Smart loves Jay Larinaga. But the headline was Marcus Smart's quote, "I love you, coach." So that is, if you're looking for a reason to bring him back, like Marcus would be like, "Oh yes, love this guy." You know, you need that love around the team now. You just do. And I said, some things on yesterday's podcast, and I expect all of Ime's holdovers to be professional.
Yeah.
And, because they love basketball, they're paid to do a job, and they've developed relationships with these guys. So they're not going to screw these guys over. However, they all came here because they are friends with Ime Udoka. And I don't know what that dynamic is going to be now. I don't expect it to be disruptive. I don't expect them to be texting with Ime and coming in and being like, "Oh yeah, I just had an idea. Let me read my idea directly off my phone." You know, like that's not what I expect from these guys. At the same time, how it goes, man. New coach comes in, new staff comes in, and these guys all have to start preparing themselves. It's a weird situation to be working under an interim coach, and considering the circumstances, having such a heavy, it's not just I brought in a bunch of assistants. It is so unique. All the Portland, Oregon guys, all the guys that Ime has trusted the most are here, and now he's not. And so that means something. And I think the Celtics are slowly starting to, dismantle it, Maybe a few of those guys might stick around because they say, "Hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm friends with Ime, but I love it here. I want to stick around." And there may be some guys that do stick around. But I do think it's not unexpected that they make moves to kind of take some of that away.
The one other thing I will say about Larinaga that's kind of interesting, and this is all just like, this is pure speculation. I have no idea. He was let go because the Celtics hired Ime. Now, I would assume because Jay has put his name in plenty of other coaching searches, I would assume that he had a conversation with Brad and, obviously was ultimately turned down by Brad. Brad, went with Ime. I am curious how that dynamic could unfold because then Jay was let go. And now it's like if Brad brings Jay back, is there going to be some kind of assurance that like, hey, if Joe Mazzulla isn't the answer, if he goes back to the bench or if he, goes somewhere else next season, like, is there some like, can you give Jay some assurance that he won't be let go a second time? Like, how does that all work? I do wonder if there's going to be some kind of, I don't want to call it drama, but some, I feel like that's got to be a huge part of the negotiation is like, like Jay just being like, listen, I uprooted my life, you know, like, and I left Boston. If I uproot my life and I come back to Boston, can I get some kind of assurance that I'm not going to have to do it yet again?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question, man. And that might, if there's a reason why he doesn't do it, that could be a reason why.
That might be it.
You know, he could, like I said before, the circumstances dictate that the reason they ask for permission is to talk to him directly and say, this is the job we want to offer you. It's a good point by you. It is entirely possible that he goes, wow, I'm flattered, but I can't because, you know, I'm not going back across the country to just do this same thing and be this same thing for the next 10 years. I want to know that there's something in line, which sets up other dynamics. You know, do you want to put the sword of Damocles over Joe Mazzulla's head and bring in, you know, you're bringing in a beloved assistant and a guy that, you know, familiar and was a lead assistant before. And does that say to Joe, like, hey, by the way, we're hiring a guy that could be your replacement if it's determined that you suck, you know, like that could be problematic. You don't want to put that guy in that position either. So you got to balance it. It's a tough balance between everything, and they're just like anything, Tom, unintended consequences. You make one decision and you don't realize that, you know, three moves later, like, oh yeah, that I didn't realize that was going to be one of the potential downfalls. Bringing Jay Larinaga back just because they called and offered the job doesn't mean he's going to take it. And if he does, are you creating another problem where there wasn't one before?
I mean, look, you want to talk about somebody who's really good at creating problems where there wasn't one before. Let's get Ime Udoka on the phone. Talk about creating problems.
True.
This man put everybody in a situation.
Yeah. I thought for a second there you were going to take a shot at me. it was gearing right up for me being the guy that causes unintended problems, which can be said about me. So absolutely, I would not have been able to deny it. I am going to stop causing problems with my boss and saying, I'm going to wrap up the show 10 minutes after I should have, but I'm wrapping up the show. Bonus content. You can't deny this. The game was just flowing. We just kept rolling with it. Tom, thank you very much.
Appreciate you, man.
Unintended. Tom was going to say something there and I completely cut him off because I was basically shutting myself up. Thank you for watching the show, for listening to the show. We have some fun here Monday through Friday. So if you want free, fresh content every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, then this is the place to get it. If you're still here and you haven't subscribed, I think that means you like the show. And I think that means you're going to subscribe. Hopefully it means you're going to subscribe. Please do so wherever you get your podcasts. On YouTube as well, you can watch the show there. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that bell to make sure you get that notification that the show is dropping as soon as it publishes. Again, I try to drop it a little bit earlier than I drop the audio podcast. So get an advanced copy of the show there. And then feed the algorithm, comments, like, all of that stuff. And of course, share the podcast. Tell your friends, family, everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.